There are exciting things for us to experience as the people of God. Have you realized that? Have you thought about that? Exciting things for us to experience, but we need to be careful that we don't miss out. This morning we turn to God's Word, the Bible, as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 to 12, for a message that I've entitled, Don't Miss Out. Would you do something this morning that we rarely do? Would you stand in honor of the Word as we read the text? Matthew 16, verse 1, Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? And then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. You may be seated. It's possible for you and I to miss out on some very significant things. And unless we're careful, we can be like those that were being addressed by Jesus here in the text that we've just read. We can be seeking a sign about the future and missing out on the present. We can be listening to false doctrine and missing out on the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ and his work. We can be clinging to the traditions of the past and of men and missing out on the new work of the Spirit. Let's think about those three, starting with possibility number one. It's possible to be seeking a sign about the future and missing out on the present. Here we had some folks, Pharisees and Sadducees, coming to Jesus asking for a sign from heaven. And what was his response? Well, he referred to something that many of us are quite adept at, and that is to be looking into the sky and sort of doing an interpretation and realizing what's up or what isn't up. When we look up at the evening sky and it's red, then what do we say will happen? Well, without looking at the radar, without listening to the storm tracker, without looking at the barometric pressure, we assume it's going to be nice the next day, right? Red at night, sailor's delight. Red in the morning, sailor's warning. Yeah, we've got that. Jesus said, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Verse 3. And then he went on to tell the Pharisees and Sadducees, A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Now, Jesus had already performed all kinds of miracles. He healed the sick, he delivered the demon-possessed, he restored sight to the blind, he had multiplied loaves and fishes. But some people still didn't recognize the fact that he was the Messiah. Folks were looking for some sign from heaven, and yet they were missing out on what was going on right in front of them. That's tragic and sad, isn't it? Reminds me of folks who have been so intent on figuring out the exact time that Jesus is going to return that they fail to recognize how he's at work in their midst here and now, today. Their intent look to the future has their focus and attention. Thus, they're oblivious to the work of God in the moment. In 1983, Bill and Gloria Gaither came up with a song entitled Fully Alive. Verse 1, that song says, "Don't let me miss all the glory around me, waiting for heaven someday to come. Open my eyes to miraculous Mondays and make my feet march to eternity's drum." And then the chorus, "Fully alive in your spirit, Lord. Make me fully alive, fully aware of your presence, Lord. Totally, fully alive." We'll come back to that at the end of the service, by the way. That will be our invitational song this morning. But the question here is, have you been so focused on something way down the road, so consumed by that, that you have been unaware, haven't been experiencing the presence of God right now? Perhaps even concentrating so much on getting ready for Christmas, haven't been mindful of the Christ of Christmas at work in the present. Do you need to ask God to again make you fully alive and open your eyes to the miraculous work of the Spirit these days? Well, don't miss out. Let's think about possibility number two. It's possible to be listening to false doctrine and thus missing out on truth. Jesus had told the disciples to take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but they didn't get it because they thought Jesus was talking about bread because they had forgotten their picnic basket. Robert Orban, in thinking about food, said, "You know, did you ever think you'd see the day when two grown people would sit down to a bottle of fizzy water, low-calorie quiche, and decaffeinated coffee and call it a power lunch?" Well, the disciples weren't so concerned about a power lunch or whatever. They weren't so concerned about what would be on the menu as to whether there would even be a menu. Now, after reminding them about the loaves and the fishes and what had been done, how the multitudes were fed, in excess of 5,000 people, and then from seven loaves feeding over 4,000 people, Jesus said, "How is it that you do not understand that I speak or do not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" And then according to verse 12, then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In other words, the concern here was the possibility that they would be listening to voices that actually would keep them or hinder them from hearing the reality, the truth. Should that be of concern to you and I today? It definitely ought to be a concern in our day. In Matthew chapter 24, for example, we have Jesus responding to people that wanted to know the sign of his coming and the end of the age. And Jesus said in verses 4 and 5, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come to you in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' deceiving many." And the Bible says in 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And Peter said, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord, who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." That's in 2 Peter 2:1. What is it then that you and I need to guard against? What is this leaven that we need to be careful about? Well, it's anything that obscures or distorts or counterfeits the truth, that it doesn't stack up with Scripture. And then we need to see that as false doctrine. Now, what's so sad about that is that the false or the counterfeit causes people to miss out on the most important. The most important things being Jesus, the gift of eternal life, and our one's relationship with the Lord. And I'm concerned in that there is a fairly prevalent way of thinking floating around these days. It's a perspective that would say that there are many ways to get to heaven, many ways to get up the mountain, and it only matters that one is perhaps adheres to whatever tenets of whatever religion that one opts to subscribe to. But we come back to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The only way for sinful human beings to be reconciled to a holy, righteous God is through Jesus, the Son of God, who came into the world and went to the cross to bear the sins for you, of you and I, and all who would call upon his name. Christmas with a capital C. Some of you saw that movie last Sunday night. Do you know what? Christmas with a capital C, it really doesn't have much to do with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Jingle Bells or I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, as nostalgic and fine as those things are. But it's about the Jesus whom John spoke of in John chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And by the way, this one who came to make possible eternal life also spoke of making available an abundant life in the here and now. And that's something we don't want to miss out on. Jesus, when he was talking about the fact that the enemy comes, but to what? To kill, to destroy, and to steal. He said, I've come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And that's a message for you and I. That's available for you and I. Have you been experiencing the abundant life that is available through Jesus Christ? Or have you been missing out because you were listening to other voices or perhaps simply got caught up in too many other things? And so that which could have been yours, that life in the Spirit, that abundant life Jesus was talking about, has not been there. Well, don't miss out. Let's think now about possibility number three. It's possible to be clinging to tradition and thus missing out on the new work of the Spirit. What do we know about the Pharisees and Sadducees that were quoted here in our text? Let me just quote Wiersbe briefly. He said, the Pharisees were legalists who taught that only obedience to the law and traditions would please God and usher in the kingdom for Israel. The Sadducees were liberal in their thinking and denied that there would be such a kingdom on earth. So, think about some Pharisees that we could name this morning. What about Nicodemus? Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, and one night he seeks out Jesus. And it's like he's curious and he wants to know what's up. What's really with Jesus? What's really going on here? And what did Nicodemus find out in that conversation? Well, he was told that he needed to be born again, that he needed to be born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, you see, was very traditional in terms of his religious expression, but at that point, he was missing out. He was missing out. Then there was Saul. Saul, a Pharisee who discovered that he was missing out big time. And after his conversion and name change, the Apostle Paul said this of his past. This is in Galatians 1, 13 and 14. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Interesting, isn't it? But I'm suggesting this morning that there's something we need to be mindful of here as well for us. Even Christians can miss out by focusing so much on what is tradition may cause us, if that's what is the most significant thing, we might be well missing out on blessings from the Lord. Just this past week, I happened to subscribe to a periodical called Brotherhood Beacon, and just this past week I received my copy of that, and there was an article in it that described a phenomenon taking place. This was not taking place thousands of years ago. It was not taking place in the Middle East. This is a phenomenon that's taking place in the here and now, and it's taking place in northern Indiana. The setting, close to home. Some 25 to 35 Amish families said to be experiencing the fresh wind of revival. Now, Mel Shuttler, who wrote this article, is from Maple City Chapel. He was saying that one of the young men in his church is hosting a Saturday morning prayer meeting at his place, and the last word was that there were 36 men attending, with many of them being Amish. They sit around tables with their Bibles, and they share about what God is saying to them through His Word. And then they stop. And when there is a need, they stop and they pray about these things. Some are responding in repentance and confession. And Mel shares how they're experiencing incredible things. Other folks are meeting Saturday evenings, some on Friday nights. And he says these prayer meetings are, you know, popping up here and there. And so here was Mel recently at a funeral, and there happened to have been some Amish bishops there. And they were asking him, what can we do to stop these people from leaving our churches? And so Mel asked him why they felt the need to oppose these prayer meetings. And the reason was that it was making a difference in their churches, and folks were moving on to other places. So Mel encouraged them to check out on what is happening personally by attending one. And here he said, I was hoping they would get to the place of blessing this revival instead of opposing what God was doing. Now, you need to know this, that what is happening is not just an emotional kind of thing that's going on, but it's making significant difference. For example, some of the guys in the prayer meeting are in management positions in large factories. You know what they're doing? They're going in early, walking through the factory, praying for the workers and for the situations that they're facing. And what's happening is that some of these employees are said to be developing a spiritual hunger and showing up at church. And folks are noticing a remarkable peace in the workplace. Now, here's another thing that's happened. And that is some of these guys who would normally take off fishing whenever are staying home with their families. And they're reading their Bibles and consistently praying. And some of these wives are said to, it's like they're overwhelmed with the good changes that it has brought to their marriages and to their families. Now, the Bible says this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you, or, you know, rob you or take from you, if you will. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And it seems to me that one of the concerns or one of the cautions in that particular scripture addressed to those people, but also to us, is that we don't miss out on what God is doing or wanting to do because we're clinging so tightly to what may have been traditional in our particular past or situation or whatever, or a tradition of men. Have you been focused, perhaps, so much on the future that you have been missing out on God's work in the present? Or have you been listening to all sorts of different voices and have been missing out on Jesus and the life that he desires for you, the abundant Christian life that he spoke about? Or do you recognize this morning that perhaps you've been clinging too tightly to something and missing out on the new work of the Spirit? This morning, we're again going to have an opportunity to respond to the Lord. So after I pray and we have the song of response, again, please stay seated unless you feel drawn to respond to the Lord. Father, we thank you for what you have made available to us through Christ. We thank you, O God, for your word, which speaks with such clarity to the things of life and to what we experience and have in need of. We thank you today for your Spirit, who is moving not only where Mark and Trish have been ministering, but is moving and working in northern Indiana, who is moving and working here in our church. We thank you for your invitation to experience more of you. Lord, just continue this work that you've begun. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, again, if your desire as we sing Fully Alive is to respond to the Lord, that resonates with you, that's what you want to do, then you stand, otherwise you stay seated.
Fully alive, fully aware of your presence.
Father, we thank you for those standing before you just now. I pray that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that they that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, the power of the Holy Spirit. And may you continue to receive the glory in the church throughout all ages. Amen. You may be seated.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward for this morning's offering. Father, we thank you for the ability and the privilege it is to give. And we pray, Lord, that what is given now might be blessed of you, multiplied as you see fit, as we properly use what is given. Lord, I pray that we might also be aware of the gifts that you have freely given each of us. I pray, Lord, that we might be willing to give of those gifts. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. That was a gift.